Good morning, everyone. Yes, my name's Matthew, if I haven't met you before, and very warm welcome to you. Hope you're enjoying being with us, technical difficulties and all. I remember once I was doing my final uni presentation. It was like an hour-long presentation. It was worth loads of marks. And I prepared this video clip, and it was like essential to the presentation. It wasn't just for fun. And I'd gone into the room the day before to check it all worked. It was fine. Then when I went to press play, the computer crashed. I just had to stand there with everyone in silence, like restarting it all. Come on, come on. It worked in the end, so we were okay. But yes. Good. Well, when I was a kid, I used to watch this TV program, FIFA was my first sight up for me, called Bernard's Watch. I don't know if anyone remembers this, but it was all about a boy called Bernard and his watch. But it was more than that. It was a magical watch, and Bernard had come across this watch in a field, and he discovered it, and when he would click the watch, it would freeze time, and everyone would be frozen except for Bernard, and he could get up to all sorts of adventures while everyone, and save the day many times, like, you know, someone's forgotten their trumpet for the school orchestra or something, and Bernard could stop the watch and run home and get it. Amazing. But I feel like a gadget like a Bernard's watch, I feel like it's wasted on a 10-year-old boy. I feel like there's a lot of us who could probably do with a Bernard's watch. I would trade a lot. I think I would probably trade all gadgets to have a Bernard's watch. That would be brilliant. But we do have a lot of useful gadgets, and you know, our smartphones, our iPads and things. And I was chatting with Jake this week, and he was saying that apparently we only use something like 20% of the capability of our iPhones. And sometimes we have these amazing gadgets, but we don't always make the most of them. And it reminds me how we do have something that is like better than all the gadgets that we have, and that is the Bible. And we have amazing access to the Bible. And the Bible really is like a life-transforming, powerful book and powerful tool for our lives if we can take access to it. And we do have amazing access to the Bible. There's parts of the world where the Bible is banned. It's so powerful. It's such power to change our lives and to reveal to us who God is and to help us know our purpose in life and why we exist and all of these questions. There's parts of the world where it's banned. I remember reading as a teenager, God Smuggler, about a guy called Andrew from Holland who used to smuggle Bibles into Soviet, and in the Iron Bloc in Europe and into Soviet countries where he'd been banned. And the amazing stories about how he'd come up to checkpoints and he could see that every car was being searched. And he knows that his car is full of Bibles. And he would just pray, Lord, please let them not see my Bibles. And then he thought, and then the Holy Spirit spoke to him and said, get a few Bibles out. So he was like, okay, and he put a few Bibles on the seat. And even with them on the seat, the guards just like waved him through. And amazing stories. I remember reading this book about a guy called Yun from China. And he became a Christian. And the Christians were persecuted then. This was back like, well, even today. But he was, this story that he became a Christian in 1997. It's amazing that in 1997, this is what happened to him in our lifetime. It's unbelievable. But he became a Christian. Then he's being chased. He's being persecuted. And people in China, the Bibles were so rare that if they could just get a fragment of a Bible, they would memorize it. And they would memorize every word. And then they'd pass it on to someone else. And he was telling stories how he's put in the maximum security prison in China. And he was there for months and months and end on end. And he was sharing about who Jesus is with all the prisoners. And prisoners were getting saved until one day, he had a miraculous escape from the maximum security prison in China. And he just literally walked out to the gates and escaped from there. It's amazing. And I love hearing his stories. But he memorized the Bible. And the Bible was so powerful for him. There were times when he was being tortured. And guards were torturing him and saying, you know, where are the other Christians? Where are they hiding? Where are they meeting? And as he was being tortured, suddenly a verse from the Bible that he'd remembered, that he'd memorized, would come back to his mind. And it would give him the strength and courage not to reveal where his friends were and not to give in to torture. And that's the power of the Bible in our lives. Or even here in Wales, a few couple of hundred years ago, the story of Mary Jones from Bala, where she was a young girl and she loved Jesus and she loved to read the Bible, but the nearest Bible was 2 miles away. A local farmer had the only Bible in the area and she would walk 2 miles to read it. And she saved up for 6 years as a young girl to buy her own Bible. And she walked 25 miles in bare feet. I'm not sure why in bare feet, but in bare feet across the countryside to buy a Bible. And she so inspired the man that she bought a Bible off that he started like the British Bible Society and spreading Bibles like across the UK. And we have amazing access to the Bible today, don't we? We can get it on our phones. We can read it on the internet. You can get one for free if you want to. I mean, they're everywhere. We have amazing access to the Bible, but the question is, are we accessing the Bible? Are we accessing the life-transforming power that the Bible has? Is the Bible playing a powerfully influencing, changing part of your life and mine? This is a question we want to ask ourselves because we have it available to us, and it is power for us, for our lives. So today we're going to look at how can we unlock the full potential of the Bible for our lives. And obviously, we could spend a day talking about the Bible, and we could spend a day, and I would enjoy spending a day, just talking about the historical accuracy of the Bible. I studied history. I love history. I love looking at like all the different things that match up from history in the Bible. But that we could spend a day on that, but we're not going to do that today. But needless to say, the Bible is an accurate historical book, and Jesus was a real historical figure and character, and the study is out there, and we can chat about it, or you know, if you want to look into it, you can. But today, we're going to focus on how can we get stuck into the Bible for ourselves. And we're going to look at 5 areas. I've stretched from 3 to 5 today. We're going to look at 5 areas about getting into the Bible. And with each of them, there's going to be some takeaways for us, some practical things that we can look at to help us unlock the Bible in our own lives. How does that sound? Great. Okay. Oh, I need this one. So, number one, what is the Bible? The Bible is a connection point between us and God. You've heard it said that the Bible is God's words. God's word is his words, but it's more than just words. Because God is a living God, the Bible is like a live expression of God. It's his voice. The Bible, it says it's alive and active, it's inspired. Jesus is described as the living word. The word became flesh. And the Bible is described as God breathed. It's more than just words on the page, but it's an expression of who God is. It comes directly from his mouth, from his voice. In Thessalonians, it says, all scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true. The Bible is real. That's why it's part of our real series. We've been doing a series about how we can engage with the reality of our God, every single day in our lives. Real, here, you know, grassroots, feet on the ground. How does God make a difference in our lives? The Bible is the inspired word of God and it is real. In Hebrews it says, the word of God is alive and active. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, discerning between the thoughts and intentions of our heart. And God is a living God, and his presence fills the words of the Bible, and he communicates through it, and he speaks directly into our hearts and directly into our lives. And ultimately, the Bible is it reveals God's engagement with people and his rescue story for mankind. But practically speaking, at youth a couple of weeks ago, we had a few lads come for the first time from one of the local schools, and they were asking James, what does a Bible look like? They'd never seen a Bible before. So I brought my Bible with me this morning. This, for example, is what one looks like, but they come in all shapes and sizes. But the Bible is made up of different books, a bit like a magazine or a newspaper. We're in the newspaper, you've got the headline news, and then you've got the sports pages, you've got the cartoons for the kids, you've got the crossword, you've got the weather, you've got letters. You've got a variety. And it's the same with the Bible. The Bible's split up into two sections. You've got the Old Testament, which was before Jesus. And in the Old Testament, you've got histories and poems and songs and prophecies. And they reveal how God created us as people for relationship with him, to live a full and satisfying life, knowing him and knowing why we were made and knowing our purpose in life. But as people, we turned away from God. We rejected the plan that he had for us. We rejected the perfect life that he created for us to experience in his love. And we turned away from all that and wanted to do our own way. And because of that, our relationship with God became broken. And because God is the source of life, when our relationship with God became broken, it meant our relationships with each other became broken. And we recognize that in the world, don't we? Where there's broken relationships between people, our relationship with God is broken. Our relationship with each other is broken. And we can't live a perfect life. As hard as we try, we can't make it right on our own. And this is what this is what the Old Testament points to. And it points towards the fact that as people, we need a solution. We need a rescuer. We need someone to put it right. And that's where we come into the New Testament. And the New Testament is when Jesus comes onto the scene. God's rescuer, God's solution for mankind, to bring us back into relationship with him and to restore relationships with each other and to restore the world to as it should be. And in the New Testament, you've got eyewitness accounts of Jesus' life and eyewitness accounts of the very first church and the very first Christians and letters from Christians from one to another, encouraging each other and helping each other find God and find their purpose in life and find the full and satisfying life that God promises us. And that's all encapsulated in the Bible. But if you've never read the Bible before, you might think that seems like quite a lot and quite a broad spectrum, and I've got no idea where to start. That's what a lot of people say to me. They say, I've tried to read the Bible, but I just don't know where to start. Well, a great place to start is to start with Jesus' life, because the whole Bible points towards Jesus. In fact, Jesus once said to some people, he said, you search the scriptures because you think they give you eternal life, but the scriptures point to me. The whole Bible points towards Jesus. And so if you've never read the Bible before, or if you've tried and you find it hard, a great place to start is with Jesus' life and the story, the eyewitness accounts of Jesus. And I brought with me this morning some of these Bibles here. This a special Rugby World Cup edition of the Bible. It's very nice, isn't it? In here is the Gospel of Luke. Luke was a doctor and a historian, and he was a contemporary of Jesus' time, and he collected up all different eyewitness accounts from people who'd seen Jesus and put them together, and it's the story of Jesus' life. And he was around when the early church, the first church started, and he documented that as well, and he was there living in it. And so if you haven't got a Bible, you've never read one before, you'd like to give it a try for the first time, you can take one of these away with you for free today and start with that. It's a great story to get you started. And so feel free to take one of those. It really is excellent. And if you're into rugby, there's interviews with rugby players and stuff in there. And if you think a friend might find that interesting, you can take some for them as well. Or another way, Jake was telling me that if you prefer, if you find reading maybe difficult, you can get audio Bibles. And on Amazon, if you sign up to Audible, you get a 30-day free trial and you can download the whole Bible for free. You can get dramatized versions. You can get all sorts of things. So Jake was telling me about that. So if you want to try Amazon, that's a good place to start as well. But our next thing is this. With the Bible, and this is my favorite thing about the Bible. With the Bible, it's not just like a textbook or coming to read something to learn facts or like something that we have to do, like, you know, like an assignment or an essay. But coming to read the Bible is coming to the person of God. It's about relationship. God is a relational God. And as we read the Bible, it's like having a conversation with God and hearing his side of the story, discovering who he is. It's not just learning facts, but it's relationship. And as we read it, we discover who God is. We come more and more into relationship. Now, this is me at age 12. I'm the one with the reflective strip on my coat. And that was my best friend from year 7, Jeremy Kenny. We're having a great time at Oakwood Park. And myself and Jeremy, we were best friends at school. We used to catch the same school bus. We used to sit next to each other in every single lesson. We used to play in the same football team. We got on really well. Jeremy was a great friend. But When I got to age 14, our school buses changed and Jeremy moved house, so we weren't on the same school bus anymore. And then in school, when you start your GCSEs, they move all the classes around. And I wasn't in a class with Jeremy anymore. And so we started to lose touch. We didn't hang out so much. And he started playing for a different football team. And so we hardly saw each other anymore. And then as the weeks and the months went on, we didn't see each other ever. And then when we turned 16, he went to college and I went to sixth form. And a few months ago, I bumped into him in Tesco, and I realized I hadn't seen him or spoken to him for almost 10 years. And even though we're friends on Facebook, you know, I didn't know what was going on in his life, he didn't know what was going on in my life, and even though we still got great memories, and I still, like him, we're not really, friends anymore. I mean, you couldn't really call that a friendship. But on the other hand, you know, Beth and Flick, who are here today, we were in school together, we used to hang out in school, we still see each other a lot. And we're still great friends now. We do life together, we pray for one another, we work together, we support one another, and we still have a great friendship because we spend time together and we've invested time in our friendship. And it's the same with God. Our faith in God isn't just something that we believe in. It isn't just like rules that we live by or facts that we know or something in our mind. Our faith is a relationship. It's a friendship with God. And as we invest in that friendship and we spend time, it grows from strength to strength. And we learn more about God and how we can shape our lives. But if we disconnect from God and don't spend time in that friendship, just like my friendship with Jeremy, it fades away. It fades into the background. And we may still believe in God and know he exists, but it's not really a living part of our lives anymore. It fades away. But God invites us into friendship. Into relationship with God. And when we read the Bible, it's coming in further and further into that relationship with him. We discover who God really is. We discover his character. We learn his voice for our lives. Now, the danger of living the Christian life without engaging with the Bible is that we can start to believe ideas about God that aren't very accurate or aren't even true. Ideas that we pick up from our society or our culture or media or TV or friends or comments that people say. These pictures of God, we pick them up as we go through life. They form our opinion, but often they're not actually very accurate. I remember when I was a kid, I used to like the TV program Hey Arnold. And I always thought that Hey Arnold was Scottish. No, he's not. He's American. He's from New York. But I always thought he was Scottish because I thought he was wearing a kilt. And so growing up, I always thought he was Scottish until I was maybe 21 and someone posted this on Facebook. I always thought Arnold's untuck shirt was his skirt. And that was the first time I realized, oh, he's not Scottish. He's American. Oh yeah, that makes sense. He was American. Well, my mum was telling me the other day about once when she was baking and with her mum when she was a girl. And in the recipe, it said to sprinkle nuts on top of the cake liberally. And so she said to her mum, reading it, what does liberally mean? But her mum could see that in the bag of nuts, there was only a few left. So her mum said, oh, just do it sparingly. Not answering the question about liberally, but just saying how to put them on. So my mum said that she grew up thinking that liberally, which is, generous, meant sparingly. And it was years later when reading things, and it never seemed to quite make sense. But it's amazing how we go through life and we pick things up, don't we? And often it can be years later before that thought is challenged. And it's the same with our relationship with God. Sometimes we can pick up ideas of God from the places that we are and they don't reflect God at all. And if we're not getting into the Bible, which is God's word and revealed who God really is, we can go on living, thinking those things for a long, long time. And we can end up believing or worshiping or praying to a God that isn't God at all. Does that make sense? Great. So, the Bible is really crucial to get into. A few months ago, there was a guy called Mark Bailey who came to speak here at a conference, and he leads a church in Cheltenham in New Wine, England. And he was saying how growing up, he was a very good rugby player, used to play for Gloucester, and he was on the cusp of turning professional when he had a bad leg break and ended up in hospital. And he said, he was in hospital for days on end, and the only book in the room that had been left was a Bible. And so he started reading it for the first time. And he said for the first time, he read about Jesus and discovered who Jesus really was. And he said it bared no resemblance to anything he'd ever heard about Jesus before. And he discovered the real person of Jesus and who he was and what he had come to do and how it completely changed his life. And there in hospital, he chose to follow Jesus, this man that he had discovered who had come to rescue the world and to rescue us. And so the Bible is really important to get into, to discover who God really is for our lives. And so our first takeaway is, with the Bible, is to find time to engage with it. It's crucial. Now, for none of us, it will take a leg break and sitting in hospital to motivate us to have that time to do it. But we can find time in our days to do it. Maybe it's the first thing you do when you wake up, or what you read when you have breakfast, or the first thing you do when you get home from work, or last thing at night, or when you're out doing your laundry, or even keeping a Bible in your car. If you're doing a lot of lifts for family all the time, keep a Bible in your car. And when you've got that 5-10 minutes between this club and that club, get it out and read it then. But it's important for us to find time to engage with the Bible and to find time for our relationship with God. Because as we read the Bible, we hear God for ourselves. When I was a teenager and I was playing for Morriston Town AFC, our coach, Steve, he had a favorite phrase, and he would say it every week at training. And he'd say, "There's a reason you have 2 ears and only one mouth, because listening is twice as important as talking." But when we read the Bible, it gives us an opportunity to listen to God and who he is. And it brings a depth and a reality to our relationship so that we really know him for ourselves. In the first week of the Real series, Sarah was talking about how our faith is our own faith, and we live our own faith, and we can't rely on someone else's faith, you know, to journey through life with God. We live with our own faith. And we see this in a story in Jesus' life where he met the woman at the well, the woman from Samaria. And this lady had come out from the town on her own, and Jesus met with her and spoke with her, and she realized who Jesus was, that he was the Son of God. And she runs into the town and says, "Come and meet a man who told me everything about me," or something like that. I can't remember. I misquoted. But anyway, she runs into the town and tells them all about Jesus. And they believe her words, and they come out to see Jesus themselves, and they spend time with Jesus, and many of them believe in him. And at the end of a few days, when Jesus leaves, they turn to the lady, and this is what they say: "Now we believe because we've heard him for ourselves, not just because of what you told us. He is indeed the Savior of the world." And they believed what she had said, but now hearing it for themselves, not just because of what she had said, they could believe it for themselves. They could know it was true for themselves. And they could say, "He is indeed the Savior of the world." And when we get to grips with the Bible, it internalizes it for us. It's not just things that we've seen or things that we've heard from other people, but it becomes real for us. It's our faith, our journey with God. And this was my experience with reading the Bible. I grew up as a part of this church, and I remember seeing amazing miracles and answers to prayer growing up. I remember when I was about 5 or 6 years old, my best friend at school got healed from a brain tumor when he was prayed for. And I remember seeing these things and these stories. But I still remember being 14 years old, and my mum was driving me in the car, I think coming home from football training. And I was saying to her, "I believe God in my mind, and I know it's real in my head, but I don't feel anything. I'm not experiencing anything. It's like, I know it's true, but it doesn't feel like it's true." And so we had a chat, and she encouraged me to read the Bible. Now, I was 14. I didn't really like reading. It wasn't my favorite thing to do. I was more into football. So she got me the Message version of the Bible, which was easier to read. And I started to read it a chapter a day. And over the weeks, it just became alive to me. And God began to speak to me. And it didn't happen in a moment, but as I engaged with it, you know, every day, God began to show me who he was. He began to speak into my life. If for the first time, I understood that there was a reason for living, that I wasn't just going to, you know, there was a purpose to go to school. I was getting really fed up with school, but now there was a reason to go to school because God loved my friends at school and he wanted to be a part of their lives. And the same way that God used people in the Bible and like called the disciples who were, you know, young people themselves, God I was included in that as well. What God did, amazing things through people in the Bible, he could do those things from me too. And I had a purpose for living. And there was a reason for being here. And it like opened my eyes to the world for the first time and what God can do. And I remember every day I began to look forward to reading the Bible, even more than football training. It was amazing. And this is what God can do. This is what God does. And so, for us, the next takeaway is, if you've been finding it hard to read the Bible, there is lots of parts of the Bible that are easy to read and great to get into, and God speaks through those things as well. Maybe try getting a different translation, like getting the Message version, like I did, and starting with that. Or maybe try getting a chronological Bible, which puts the, you know, the Bible in historical order. And it's amazing reading one of those, because you'll be reading like the life of David, and you'll see how he beat Goliath, but then like he's hiding in a cave because someone's trying to kill him. And then there's a psalm that he wrote where he writes a song, and he's talking to God to help him. And instead of it normally being, you know, you have the stories in this part, and then all the psalms are bunched together, the psalm is in the right place, and you can see it like in the middle of the action. Or when you read through Acts and you see Paul's life, and then he writes a letter to a church he's just visited, and you can see how it all links up into the different places. So maybe try that. Or maybe getting a study Bible where it, you know, gives you helpful notes on different passages. Or try reading a whole book in one go. Pick one of the stories, like the stories of Jesus' life, and read it all in one go. Or get one of the letters, and don't just read a little bit at a time, but take like an hour out of your day and read it all in one go. And I've tried doing this recently. When you read a book all in one go, it speaks to you so differently. You get kind of the overarching like theme of the writer and what you know, whether it's he wants to share God's love with people. You see the motives of where it's coming from. And then when you go back and read the details and read, you know, a little chapter a night, it gives it so much more meaning. It gives a whole fresh perspective. So maybe try these different things. But for me, I would say that reading the Bible has had a significant it is one of the most significant parts of my life. And I would go as far to say it potentially has changed the direction of my life. Because that was the time when I felt God speak into me and what he wanted me to do with my life. And God will speak to you too as you get into it. The Bible is crucial for sustaining faith and from taking it from things on the outside to being real for you and internalizing it on the inside. And that brings us to number three, which is that the Bible fuels us for living. Now, as Tammy demonstrated in her kid spot this morning very well, I'm glad I didn't have any baby food myself, the Bible likens itself to food because the Bible nourishes us and sustains us for our walk with God. Jesus said, "People do not live on bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth of God." And without the Bible and getting into it, our relationship with God can run shallow. Because the Bible brings a depth. In Psalm 119, it says, "How sweet your words taste to me. They are sweeter than honey." Or Peter, writing to a church of new believers, this is what he said. "For you have been born again, but not to a life that will quickly end. Your new life will last forever because it comes from the eternal, living word of God. And that word is the good news that was preached to you. Like newborn babies hungry for milk, you should want the pure teaching that feeds your spirit. With it, you can grow up and be saved, now that you have had a taste of the Lord's kindness." And Peter is saying that now we've tasted relationship with God and we've come into relationship with him, that we want to get ourselves stuck into the words of God so that we can grow up in our faith and so that we can live this life that God has called us to. Another translation says, as we feed on the word, that we will fully experience relationship with God, fully experience it. And the Bible, it builds us up. It's nourishing for our walk with God. And the great thing about the Bible is that it's always fresh. It speaks directly into our lives today. Now, it's always good hanging out with friends. We had a great time at the men's weekend. Just gone, had a really good time together, hanging out and doing manly things like walking, getting stuck in the mud and stuff like that. Thanks for that, Kieran. Oh, Kieran's out in creche. Kieran, we went on this walk and then we had a bit of a detour thanks to Kieran. A few of us lost shoes, etc. But it was good. It was worth it. We had a great time together. And at the barbecue on Tuesday, had a good time hanging out. That was good. It's always good to hang out with friends, isn't it? And we enjoy, you know, spending time together. But then every now and again, when you're hanging out with your friends or you spend time together, you have those like special moments, the things that then 10 years later you'll say, do you remember that night when we did this? Do you remember when we went there? You know, something happens and it's like unique moments, special moments that make those memories. And it's similar with reading the Bible. Whenever we read the Bible, it's always good for us. It always fills us. It always sustains us. It always draws us closer to God. It's all, every time we read the Bible. But sometimes you have those like special moments where the Holy Spirit speaks directly into a situation in your life and speaks directly into something that you're going through. Maybe it's an answer to prayer. Maybe it's something you've been thinking about. Or just you're reading it and it's like the words jump out from the page and God is speaking. And you know, you feel, oh, wow, you know that God is speaking straight to you. Jenny was telling me the other day about over Christmas, she was reading the story of Jesus' life and how when Jesus meets a man called Nathanael, it just like jumped out of the page to her. And she noticed almost for the first time that the only reason Nathanael got to meet Jesus was because he was invited by his friend. And Philip went to him and said, come and meet this man that I've just met. His name is Jesus. And took Nathanael with him. And she realized that God was speaking to her about some of her friends and that he wanted to meet with them. And so she began to pray for them. And she invited them along to, I think, the Christmas service and then to a course here. And they started to engage with church and have had the opportunity to meet with Jesus. And sometimes as we read the Bible and we allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us, the words will jump out of the page and God will speak directly into our lives. And those are those like special moments that help to shape the direction and course of our lives. And so how can we do that? How can we give God the opportunity to speak to us through the Bible? Well, when we come to read it, a good thing to do is to stop and to give it some focused attention. I like to put my phone on airplane mode because I know if it goes off, I'll be checking it. So we just stop for a few moments and ask the Holy Spirit to help you. Lord Jesus, would you speak to me as I read the Bible? And as we read it, we're open to what God might want to say. And when we read the Bible, it's not always about the quantity, but it's like the quality. Quality, not quantity. When I first started reading the Bible, I'd read a chapter a day. That was like, that just worked for me, a chapter a day. But sometimes, there'd be like a really interesting chapter. You'd be like midway through a story, and the chapter would end. But I wouldn't carry on. I would just put it away because I'd done the chapter for the day. Or other times, I'd be reading it and something would really stand out to me. Oh, that's unusual. Oh, what's that about? That's unusual. Or something would speak to me. But I wouldn't stop. I'd carry on because I'd want to get my chapter finished. But it's about quality, not quantity. As we're reading it, if we find God speaking to us, you don't just have to stop. You can carry on. Or if you're reading and maybe just one word or one line or one verse speaks to you, you can stop there and think and ask God, God, what are you saying to me through this line? What does this mean for my life? It's like quantity, not quality, not quantity. Am I getting that the right way around? I am. Good. And then sometimes it's good to ask questions. What does this say and what does it mean? Why did Jesus say that? What would it have been like if I was there? How do I identify with these characters in the story? And it's okay to ask questions. If there's something you don't understand, write it down and come and ask someone at small group. It's okay to ask questions. And finally to ask, what does this mean for my life? And then to pray about it. Lord, how does this impact my life? What does this mean for my life? And it's always good to ask, what does it mean for my life? Because, on to number four, the Bible is a light to our path. In Psalm 119, it says, by your words, I can see where I'm going. They throw a beam of light onto my path. And the Bible is full of truth, and it's reliable, and it shows us the way to go. Later on, it says, your promises have been thoroughly tested. That is why I love them so much. And for me, the Bible is almost like a lighthouse. That whether the sea is rough and it's, you know, the waves are massive or is calm, the lighthouse will just consistently shine and point the way to shore, whatever the conditions are. And in our lives, like, our feelings go up and down and our circumstances go up and down, don't they? Sometimes we feel confident, sometimes we're anxious. Sometimes we feel close to God, sometimes we feel far from God. Sometimes we know which way to go and what choice to make, and sometimes the decisions seem blurred and we're not sure, what should I do in this situation? But the Bible consistently leads us in the direction of our lives. It's reliable truth that we can lean on. In James, it says it's like a mirror. And as we read the Bible, it shows us the motives and the thoughts of our hearts. And it reveals who we are in comparison to the direction that God is leading us in. Psalm 119 says this: I am filled with trouble and anxiety, but your commandments bring me joy. Another version says, your justice is eternal and all your instructions are perfectly true. As pressure and stress bear down on me, I find joy in your commands. Your laws are always right. Help me to understand them so I may live. And as we read the Bible and discover it and lean on it, we find that it's full of wisdom. And when we did our Amaze series, we said it was kind of like life hacks. How, you know, God has created us and he knows how life works and he gives us an inside track into life. And as we read the teachings of Jesus, we could see, whoa, those are life changing. I was speaking to a new Christian who'd heard the Amaze series, and they said, I wish I'd known about this 15 years ago. Or I was speaking to another new Christian who listened to the teaching that Sarah did, the talk, where Jesus talked about not trying to collect up treasures on earth and, you know, collect up stuff, but to focus on treasure in heaven and our relationship with God and our relationship with people. And they said how, for them, that has brought such a weight off their shoulders because they had been worried and they had been thinking about trying to get the stuff for their children that they didn't have and trying to get, you know, more and more things. But it kind of broke that kind of expectation of culture, that it's not about just collecting up things, but actually relationship. There are things that are more important. Our relationships with each other and our relationship with God. And it's brought a freedom into their lives. And that stress has been lifted from them. And it's from the words of the Bible. And as we read the Bible and we put it into practice, we discover this freedom that we can find in it. Jesus said, the thief comes in order to steal, to kill, and destroy. But I have come in order that you may have life and life in all its fullness. And the Bible reveals this way to us, life in all its fullness. So the next takeaway is, as we read the Bible, is to put it into practice. Brother Andrew, the guy I spoke about in the beginning, who would smuggle Bibles into different parts of the world, he said, in the years of living this life of faith and putting the Bible into practice, I have never known God's care to fail. And Jesus once said, he called to the people who were listening to him, and he said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, when you don't do what I say? I will show you what it's like when someone comes to me, hears my teaching, and puts it into practice. And he goes on to say, it was like a builder who built his house on a rock. And whatever the storms came, their life was built on a firm foundation. And as we put the Bible into practice, we can discover not just a life that, you know, can withstand storms and difficult times, but a life that is overcoming and can do more than we can ever imagine. When we read the Bible, we see the amazing things that God has done. I love the story in Acts. This is a spoiler. If you're going to read this book, I'm giving you a spoiler now. My apologies. But at the end of Acts, Paul, who's been arrested like unjustly, and now he's being shipped off to Rome to face trial and probably he's going to be killed. And he's in a boat and they get shipwrecked and they end up on the island of Malta. Shipwrecked. But what happens when he's on the island? He meets the chief of the island who's sick, and Paul prays for him and he gets healed. And then all the sick on the island come to see Paul, and it says they all got healed. And Paul is on trial unjustly. He's probably going to be killed. He's just gone through a shipwreck, and now a whole island has got healed and they've discovered who Jesus is. That's an overcoming life, isn't it? He's not just withstanding, surviving storms. He's overcoming. He's reaching out for God's purposes despite his circumstance. And as we get into the Bible, it builds faith. It builds a foundation that we can do more than we could ever imagine, because God is bigger than we could ever imagine, and he wants to do more through your life than you could ever imagine. It's scary, but it's amazing. And as we get into the Bible, this is what we discover. And that brings us on to the last one. Number five is that the Bible cultivates faith. As we read the Bible, it opens our eyes to who God is. Not just this world that we see around us, but what God has done and who he is. Jesus said, the kingdom of God is near. The kingdom of God is at hand. We can reach out and touch it. And as we read the Bible and we see the miracles and we see answers to prayer and we see the faithfulness of God, it cultivates faith in our heart that this is true and this is real and God wants to do this in my life. We've looked recently over the summer, didn't we, about healing. And we looked at how Jesus healed. In the early church, how people were healed. And as a church, we've been praying for people in faith, knowing that God does heal. And Tammy was telling me a story back around Easter time when she was driving in the car and she picked up a friend of hers. And the friend, she'd slept awkwardly and creaked her neck. But in work for those 3 days, she couldn't reach up things in the office. You know, she got into the car all stiff. And as we were driving along, Tammy said, well, let me pray for you. And Tammy prayed for her, and she got instantly healed. And we're saying, wow, that's amazing. That's amazing. I can't believe it. And we've seen loads of people healed, haven't we? And as we read the Bible, it builds faith for what God can do and who God is and how he is a part of our lives today. And finally, you know, have you been in a presentation before? And a lecturer or a training day at work, like manual handling or fire safety or first aid. And sometimes you go to a presentation like that and someone is literally reading the slides, they're reading the words off their PowerPoint, and you think to yourself, it'd be easier if you just gave me the PowerPoint and I could just go home and read it with a cup of tea. You ever been in that situation before? Or other times you go to a lecture and it's a subject that the lecturer actually cares about, and it's their own research, and they don't even need notes. They just speak the words, that they just share it. And even if it's a subject you're not interested in, you find yourself captivated because it lives in them. It's real to them. And this is what it's like when we read the Bible. It makes it real to us. It lives in us. I love the story in Acts, where there was this time when Peter and John were on their way to a meeting and they came across a paralyzed man. And so they prayed for him and he got healed. And suddenly a huge crowd formed to see what was going on. But the same leaders who weeks before had crucified Jesus were still around. And obviously they weren't happy about Peter and John telling people that Jesus was alive. And so they arrested them and they put them on trial and they were questioning them. You know, why have you done this? Why have you done this? And Peter and John, without fear, said, this man was healed by Jesus because Jesus is alive. And I love what it says next. It says, the leaders saw that Peter and John were not afraid to speak and that they understood that these men had had no special training or education. They could see that Peter and John, they were untrained men. They didn't have a PowerPoint slide to read off, but they weren't afraid to speak. It says, the leaders were amazed and then they realized that Peter and John had been with Jesus. And as we read the Bible, it brings the life of Jesus alive to us. Jesus said, whoever sees me has seen the Father. And as we read the Bible, we see what Jesus did. It becomes alive to us. And so people can look at our lives and say, there is a man who has been with Jesus. And there is a woman who has been with Jesus. We may not have been with him physically, but as we read the Bible and we engage with him through God's word, it's like we have been with Jesus. And just like it lived through Peter and John, it will live through us as well. It will be real in our lives and out of our lives. Finally, this is the very last story. In the intern house where myself live, last year Elliot and Ryan lived there, and this year James and Elliot are living there. This is from our FIFA tournament a few weeks ago. Now, in the intern house, I'm going to give you an insight into our house. There's three boys living there. So sometimes there's household tasks that need to be done. But the prioritizing those or the feeling the need to do them quickly can come and go. So for example, you may do some laundry and then you hang up your t-shirt to dry on the radiator. And 6 weeks later, that t-shirt is still drying on the radiator. That t-shirt is now so dry. It's sapping in moisture from outside. Or, you know, you may make some food, and then the frying pan will patiently wait on the side by the sink for, you know, many, many days sometimes before washing up. But last year, I had a phone call from Sky, and they offered us Sky Sports for £2.50 a month. Now, that is an offer too good to refuse. So we had Sky Sports last year. I mean, I've cancelled it now because the offer's run out. But anyway, had Sky Sports. One day, I come home from work, and the Sky box isn't working. Now, do you think the Sky box would sit there patiently waiting for weeks on end to be fixed and sorted out? No. Within the hour, contracts had been found, phone numbers had been searched for, passwords had been double-checked, and a Sky engineer was on his way within the hour. And this just goes to show us that what is important to us and what we prioritize, we make time for, don't we? And we put into practice. Imagine you went to the doctor and he prescribed you some medication. Each of us would adjust our lives to include that medication or that treatment into our lives, wouldn't we? Because we need it to live. We need it to function. It's the same with the Bible. Often people say, I haven't been reading the Bible because I'm too busy. The Bible is essential for our lives. It is essential for our lives. And just like we would adjust our lives to take some medication, or we would find the warranty to call Sky to get Sky Sports back, the Bible is crucial for our Christian walk. And if we want to walk and live an overcoming life and relationship with Jesus, we must adjust our lives. It's a simple thing. But we must adjust our lives to include the Bible in it, because it really is essential and it's crucial, and it's like food for our spirit and for our soul. And so shall we end and pray and ask God that as we read the Bible this week, that he would speak to us through it. Lord, I thank you for this amazing gift that is the Bible, and how when we read it, you speak into our lives, because you are alive today and you are real and you have a purpose for our lives. Would you help us this week as we get into the Bible? Holy Spirit, would you help us to read it? Would you speak to us through it? And would you bring your power and your direction and your love and your grace into our lives as we spend time with you? In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thanks. Thanks, man.